Hello everyone, it's Richard Lewis here again with another video, and today I'm going to be talking about one of the stories that may have escaped your attention, but I think it's going to be one of the biggest esports stories of 2017, and I think it has huge ramifications for the industry as a whole, especially in the field of esports, not just gaming. So let's start by telling you what it is, and that is that Riot Games have successfully sued a script-making website and had $10 million awarded to them by a court, and as well, I think more significantly, control of the websites and the databases attached to those websites that the scripting company used. Now, I've talked about scripting a lot in League of Legends. Some of you followed the channel for a while back in the pre-Phantom Lord days, and we had like 20,000 subs. Will remember that I was one of the first journalists to kind of talk about scripting in League of Legends. I made a video about it called Hacks Come to League of Legends. I didn't have a beard back on that video. What I was saying there was that we got to get past this attitude, this naivety, that because, it's all server-side, there's no cheats possible, that actually people were going to have a cheat-free experience in this game. I went to a scripting website and kind of showed how the scripts worked, showed how many people were signed up to that particular scripting website, and said this was a significant amount of the active player base to warrant attention, and that it was only going to get worse. And of course, it was met with some derision. People kind of laughed it off. More importantly, the Reddit moderators refused to allow it to go onto the League of Legends subreddit on the basis it was advertising script. Well, as somebody that's been around for a long, long time in esports, and as somebody that has exposed private cheats and things like that in the past, I'll tell you one thing. Sunlight is certainly the best disinfectant. And what I mean by that is that when you expose a public cheat or an exploit in a game that people can use, and more people can then go out and use it, this forces the developer to focus on the problem. Because, you know, if everyone's getting cheated, players will stop playing. If everyone's using an exploit in a game, player experience goes down. People complain, it creates noise, it creates fuss, and it forces the developer to take the situation seriously and assign some resources to fixing the problem. That's how it always has worked, and for these people to suggest they know better is absurd. There's no evidence to support that whatsoever. But anyway, let's get on to the story and break it down. So we have to think back to August. This is when the lawsuit was kind of first filed. And you can see here, this is Riot sues League of Legends botting service LeagueSharp, as reported by Andy Chalk of PC Gamer. And it's a crazy story. Just so you know how LeagueSharp operates, it's kind of like any private cheat that you would get. Certainly the people out there who have played Counter-Strike for a while will have heard of these. Basically, you subscribe to the business, they give you the software, and for that subscription, you gain access to usually a client that you have to log in to activate it. That's how they can see if you've paid your subscription. And they keep it updated to avoid detection. And they add new features onto it. And very often you'll actually find the more money you pay, there'll be like a tiered subscription list, the better the features, and by features I mean ways to cheat, actually are. Now you can see here, as was outlined in the suit, when it was filed, LeagueSharp were charging $15 per month, and that was for the base package, which allowed you to play in 50 games per day using the LeagueSharp facilities, or you could pay $50 a month to have unlimited access. And what this was, what the $50 access was aimed at, were for people who wanted to simply bot, that is to have multiple accounts running in multiple games of League of Legends for the purposes of just leveling those accounts, and they would just kind of play automatically. And the reason for this is that there is a black economy in selling leveled accounts, because Riot insists if you want to make a new account, you have to go back to the start and level it up to 30 before you can play ranked games again, and then you've got to do your placements and everything else, and it's quite a grind. The leveling up an account takes a significant amount of time, and not everyone wants to do it, especially if it's just for the purposes of smurfing or whatever. Now, I've always said Riot missed a trick, that they probably should sell ready-made level 30 accounts that you can have access to if you prove you have another account at level 30 or above, and this would allow people to have multiple accounts in multiple regions, which is certainly desirable. Riot don't want to do that. They kind of don't want to condemn smurfing, but equally they don't want to encourage it. It's classic Riot on the fence. They'll only do something about it when they're forced to do it. But there is an economy in selling these accounts for purposes. People want to be boosted. People get banned. We all know how heavy-handed Riot are with their toxicity bans and all that other nonsense. So there is a black economy in it. And anybody who knows esports would know that these services are always going to rise up when you have a system like this. I think Riot were a little bit naive and obviously didn't know a lot about esports when they kind of launched. Or they could have headed some of these problems off at the past, but they didn't. Anyway, the lawsuit rightly points out that this company, LeagueSharp, were making a lot of profit. You can see the botting service is designed for those users that wish to make money by creating and selling accounts that have been artificially leveled. Riot is informed and believes, and on that basis alleges, that tens of thousands of people currently subscribe to LSharp, and that the defendants generate hundreds of thousands of dollars each month in connection with LSharp, which is all accurate. Certainly, I've written about scripting companies quite extensively. I've done reports on bots of Legends and LeagueSharp, and there was a little bit of a war going on between both of them. They were using kind of, you know, dark arts against each other. And there is a lot of money involved in this, and it's a money that's being made off the back of the developer's work. Now, the lawsuit goes on that it says it's absolutely imperative for the future of the game that it's fair and competitive, enjoyable for all players, regardless of skill and experience, and that LeagueSharp is an enormous threat and that their conduct is willful, deliberate, and malicious. So all of these things were outlined. And it's got to be said as well, Riot didn't want to be litigious to begin with, to their credit. Now, one thing I will say about Riot is they always do try and solve these things informally. And the reason for that is they don't like bad publicity. They don't like to look like they're incompetent or have any flaws. They're very focused on controlling the message. So I wrote a long article about this over on the Daily Dot, now Dot Esports. And basically, what they do is they've reached out to people, cheat coders, people who make the cheats, and they've hired them or offered them money to, you know, leak databases, leak information, rat people out. I've interviewed people who've showed me the paperwork, and they've existed in this bizarre twilight of simultaneously making cheats for the game, but also giving Riot information about how to fix those bugs and render those cheats that people are paying for useless. So it's like being a double agent, you know, incredibly ridiculous. But where these defendants, where LeagueSharp didn't help themselves, apparently, as it came out over the course of the case, is that they try to blackmail a Riot employee by threatening to leak their personal information into the public domain. I mean, again, non-public information. I'm not sure what that is, although I could probably hazard a guess as to who that might be. And also, as well, they destroyed evidence and were trying to hide behind a Peruvian shell corporation. Just imagine that, guys. A shell corporation in esports. Well, I never. Anyway, I won't get into that. That's another rabbit hole. So let's fast forward to after the case. And that here it is. This is the outcome. Riot awarded $10 million in League of Legends scripting lawsuit. And it didn't take particularly long. You can see U.S. District Judge Ronald S.W. Liu signed off on the settlement and injunction, awarding Riot a win against the defendants. In addition to that, hacking and scripting claims, Riot alleged that LeagueSharp also attacked its servers and leaked private information about a Riot employee. This was over on the Law 360 website, which you've got to be a member of, so I'm not going to bother bringing that up. But, as I said, what this kind of report doesn't really talk a lot about is the significance of the websites being handed over. So this was another report that was a little bit more detailed. Over here, and you can see this is at esports.clickon.co, and I like this. This is by Jack Stelling, had a lot of kind of more juicy details in. It talks a bit about, you know, how you'll see scripting affecting pro games. And look, I'll be honest, if you think League of Legends wasn't getting a scripting problem, let me tell you, if you've ever watched a pro player's stream, you will have seen somebody scripting. And by that, I don't mean the players themselves. I actually mean that the kind of no-names who they're playing against in high elo, with this incredible movement and ability to dodge skill shots and ability to never miss a last hit and all of this, some of these people certainly are scripting. And it became a hysterical situation to the point where even people who were innocent, like Gosu, I'm Gosu, was recently accused of being a scripter on the flimsiest of pretexts. But this is because Riot never tackled the problem. People were trying to just hope it was going to go away, and it was never going to go away. But this lawsuit was a step in the right direction. So you can see here that names the German hackers, German, of course, Matthias Jodesmeim Altman, German Stefan Ohm, Stefan Delgato, and Tyrone Tom Beaving Power. Even says what locales they're in. And again, it highlights the blackmail and the Peruvian shell company and everything else. And you can see that it's even got some quotes from the legal complaint itself. But here's what happened at the end. League Sharp had to hand over the websites. I don't know what they're going to do about the $10 million. It's highly unlikely the business was that profitable, but who knows. And you can see here, some of you may know, Riot Games has filed a lawsuit against League Sharp and has made it clear to us that League Sharp violates their terms of use, as if it was ever in doubt. As a result of our lawsuit with Riot, we have agreed to cease development and support for League Sharp and other tools related to Riot Games. You also should be aware that using third-party tools in League of Legends may result in the suspension or banning of your account by Riot Games. We apologize for any pain we've caused to players of League of Legends. Looks to me like they were hoping that, you know, they were going to get it took easy on them. But let's just quickly bring up what I think is significant. Having the websites and databases handed over means that all the people who have engaged in using this, it's not even a violation of data protection anymore because Riot owns those websites. So you, if you've ever used that scripting program, if you've ever partook in those forums, chances are you're going to get banned now. Chances are you are going to be banned and perhaps permanently banned on all accounts for the future. And given the sheer volume of people who are subscribed to League Sharp, again, that's a significant amount of players. And I'm pretty sure Riot are going to waste no time in punishing heavy offenders. Riot often came in for a lot of criticism about not dealing with scripters and throwing out bans in waves and not really revealing how they were doing it. Well, I think now we know when the next wave comes, we know exactly how they've done it. They've seen it in black and white. They're going to be able to sync up emails, usernames, PayPals, whatever it is. They have access to all of that information now. The website is theirs. So this is no doubt going to be celebrated by a lot of people in the esports industry, because I think we all know, if you've ever played the game to a serious level, and to be clear, if you enter into the Riot League of Legends hierarchy, you kind of are in the you know, you're on the rung, you're on the road to pro. That's one of the features of their game. So obviously cheating is a bad thing. It ruins the player experience. It can make people who aren't that good get fan bases and money predicated on lies. So it does have this huge negative problem. But I've got to say, I almost feel that in this instance, that's kind of unique to Riot Games. And they're certainly not alone in trying to tackle this problem. This is the first time I've seen damages of this size. I mean, $10 million might be a drop in the ocean for Riot Games. It's certainly not going to be a drop in the ocean for League Sharp. But you can see, look, I'll show you some other. I mean, Blizzard have been suing people who make bots and all sorts of stuff for years. And if you look here, I will bring up an example. I think this is from 2008. 2008. And this is Blizzard filing suit against a man called Michael Donnelly. And if you ever played World of Warcraft, I certainly didn't. Never really appealed to me. I know that sounds insane, given that I'm such a hardcore gamer, but I just never got into it. And I tried multiple times, and all my friends were playing it. But even I heard of the tool MMO Glider, and Blizzard actually sued him for, successfully for creating, creating this program and selling it. And you can see the basic version of the MMO Glider application runs at $25, and Donnelly has sold more than 100,000 keys thus far. An elite subscription service is also available, which expands functionality. So it's exactly like what was happening over at League Sharp, and Blizzard were successful. And you can see, because they went down the route of saying that not only did it go against their user license agreement, there was also elements of copyright infringement, which we'll elaborate on in just a moment. So Blizzard have been very well versed in this. And you can see here, they didn't stop there. This is, I mean, Torrent Freak does some great reporting on this kind of stuff. If you ever get a chance to check out Torrent Freak, I, recommend it. And you can see here, this is in 2015, and this is where Blizzard Entertainment sued a bot maker for World of Warcraft, Diablo 3, and Heroes of the Storm. They were variations, and these were called Honor Buddy, Demon Buddy, and Storm Buddy, respectively. And basically, again, it was kind of like the same situation. And they actually went after the coder, James Enright, APOC. And I remember having contact with some representatives from the company that kind of made these, and people close to the situation at the time. And they were telling me that actually, Mr. Enright was incredibly furious because he felt that he was being singled out and targeted as an individual, when in actual fact, he had only coded them. He had only coded them on behalf of a company. Like, he had been tasked with making this thing, and he was saying Blizzard are effectively doxing me by filing this suit. Now, I'm sure a lot of people aren't going to be very sympathetic about that, but there was some nuance to it. That this guy felt he was kind of being bullied and exposed and put in a situation where people might want to take revenge against him for ruining their games or whatever. But you can see as well, you can still get the lawsuit, it's still there on PDF. The bots that Enright has programmed and helped distribute destroy the integrity of the Blizzard games, imagine Blizzard games experience, alienating and frustrating legitimate players and diverting revenue from Blizzard to the defendants. And again, you can see the bot sales start at $27, and that's for the most basic World of Warcraft version. So there was lots of money in this. What then happened after that, if I remember correctly, and I think I've got the right link here, was that then the lawsuit became more complicated because APOC, I'm not sure if he settled or if he gave information about his employers. But then Blizzard went after Bossland. This is in 2016, and Bossland was the kind of umbrella company that owned these various programs and whatnot. So Blizzard have always gone after these people, and this is also, they had some cheats in Overwatch as well, and we know that Overwatch has kind of already had its first tentative steps of dealing with cheat allegations and cheating and everything else that comes with being an online competitive game. It's as old as time. And Polygon picked this up as well and started writing about the cheating that was going on in Overwatch and how Blizzard wanted to sue these cheat makers. And this was for Watch Over Tyrant, which again was made by Bossland. And you can see here that, they said it was a loss of revenue. But what's interesting about this is that they also said that it had to sort of, you can see it mentions the other programs they make here, but that it because it had to kind of put itself on the computer and replicate certain elements of the code for it to work, that it was also kind of a copyright infringement. So they really went after them using any legislature that they could. And again, they were successful. So you've had all of these things going on. When it begs the question, you know, aren't other games developers going to be able to follow suit now? You know, because Blizzard have set a lot of precedent there. Now Riot Games have had an award. That sets another precedent. And securing all of the websites, it makes you wonder, you know, if Valve wanted to pursue litigation. I know that it feels like they've spent half of 2016 in court for one reason or another. But if Valve, for example, wanted to pursue litigation against Counter-Strike cheaters and any other games that they make, Team Fortress 2 cheaters or whatever, they've certainly got the grounds to do it and the means to do it, and they'll certainly be able to cite these examples as ways in which they can pursue, you know, financial remedy, I suppose, if you like. So it's very interesting to see how the industry is changing. Now, what worries me, because I'm a believer in the slippery slope fallacy in some cases, is that there's a risk of going too far. To be clear, I don't support black economies that make money off other people's intellectual property. Obviously, I don't. You know, I'm a creative person myself. I would hate it if it happened to me. I'm incredibly sympathetic when it happens to others. On top of that as well, I mean, we know people who cheat in competitive games. You know, they fucking ruin them for people. And I've written in the past about how, you know, using cheats in the right environment can be a harmless bit of fun. I think if you ever cheat in a competitive setting, you're just a piece of shit. You know, there's no two ways about it. So what I'm worried about is if we start trying to copy what's been going on in certain Asian countries, and that is that where the law kind of starts to overlap with terms of service, and people actually get prosecuted and jail time for cheating in computer games. And if that sounds insane, well, I'm going to show you, it goes back. Japan was one of the first countries I ever heard about this. And this was in 2014. This is from Tech Dirt, a nice little blog that I like to read. And you can see here, this is June 2014. Cheating in online games leads to arrests in Japan. And I will read you just their summary of a Japanese report. And it says, newspapers in the land of the rising sun. I'm not sure you can say that anymore, but whatever, it's not my blog. Are reporting that three teenagers have been arrested for cheating in the online first-person shooter Sudden Attack. Yes, arrested. And you can see Yomiuri Online, one of Japan's largest newspapers, reports that this is the first time gamers have had criminal liability charged against them in Japan for allegedly using cheat programs. One of the gamers is a university freshman, another is a 17-year-old vocational school student, and the last of the trio is a 17-year-old high school student. In Nexon statement, so this is obviously Nexon, they make a lot of online games that are very popular in Asian markets, about the legal charges, the company explains that these three players allegedly used the cheat tools repeatedly in the game. IT Media reports that distribution of cheats was also allegedly involved. And you can see, you know, Tekta kind of share my sentiment about it. And that is that, you know, this is crazy that you would start prosecuting people for what is a terms of service violation in a computer game. I think ban them, sure. Pursue civil remedy. Sure, but for it to be a breach so heinous that you would involve the law, you know, that seems crazy to me. Now, that was Japan. When I first heard about that, I thought, you know, there's a lot of crazy shit in Japan. We've seen fucking tentacle porn and Godzilla movies, you know. Culturally, they take things, with a very different way to some, than some of us, right? So I was like, okay, well, that's not going to spread. But recently, at the end of 2016, there was actually some reports that South Korea were going to go the same way. And actually, they brought in legislature that was a lot more substantial. And again, I'll use Tech Dirt. Come on, Tech Dirt, you can do it. Let's try that again, shall we? Okay, well, it turns out you can't put tech dirt on tech dirt. But anyway, right, so I'll read it to you. I'll put the link in the description. But basically, what they did here was the South Korean government wanted to basically make it a criminal offense to violate a game's terms of service. And this was picked up by PvP Live as well. And it was an amendment passed by the Southern Korean parliament, which prohibits and expressly bans, actually, the manufacturing and distributing of programs that are not allowed by the game company in its terms of service. So anybody who creates a competitive gaming cheat or a hacking program or an aimbot or anything like League Sharp that would allow you to play the game freehand to level up accounts, anything that confers an unfair advantage, this would now be a prosecutable offense and punishable by up to 5 years in prison. Now, that to me, I'm not going to lie, that seems extreme. But let's not forget that there are a lot of very culturally specific things in South Korea. I mean, first of all, it's often talked about in esports how, oh, it's, you know, the mecca for esports. They were so progressive and advanced because they had, like, televised leagues and, you know, we all know how big Brood War got. But certainly that came in a very unique, perfect storm that I've talked about multiple times. Won't bore you again with it. But, you know, obviously they have very strict laws around gambling and online gambling. They've got, you know, as in gambling is illegal for South Korean nationals. They've also been rocked by several scandals at the highest level in esports, and which is now part of the societal fabric. So obviously they're going to think, you know, PC bangs are inherent to their culture as well, right? So obviously they're going to have a very different outlook than perhaps we would. But I gotta say that when you see huge civil awards coming out, it does make me worry a little bit that maybe we see similar situations start creeping into the West, that if somebody, like let's say a high-level pro player, was found to be a habitual cheat and had won prize money, would there be an expectation that it goes through civil court and they have to give damages back, or would they be prosecuted? And could they face jail time? I mean, I see this a lot when people talk about the iPad power throw that happened in Counter-Strike. A lot of people are going to be, oh, Richard, if they'd been in Korea, they would have gone to jail. Well, yeah, again, there's a whole bunch of different reasons about that. And, you know, I certainly think there's no comparison to the Brood War betting scandal and a single individual game thrown for skins. You know, it's chalk and cheese. But it makes me wonder now that as kind of there's more legislature and more legal precedent for developers to kind of push back on people who are cheating, making cheat programs and benefiting directly from using cheats. You know, as we saw in Japan, you don't even have to be coding them. You just have to be using them or distributing them. You know, that could start off a very worrying trend. I love esports very much and want to keep it pure and have dedicated the bulk of my career to that, but I definitely don't want anyone going to prison for a long time because they had a bit of a toggle. I want to kind of keep things in perspective if possible. So there you have it, but I thought it was interesting. I definitely think this is a landmark case in terms of esports law. And I certainly applaud Riot in their victory. It's a big win for their player base, who have suffered immensely at a combination of the impunity of scripters and also Riot's incompetence. But this is a huge step in the right direction for them. And I'm interested to see if Valve are going to look to, you know, not just operate the VAC-ban system, perhaps some of these companies that have made a profit off the back of Counter-Strike's existence by having private cheats, why couldn't Valve go after them and get a piece of that pie, get some of that money back and shut these sites down? Might be wishful thinking on my part, but we shall wait and see. I think 2017 is going to be a very interesting year for this on this basis. Anyway, those are a few thoughts about it. You can let me know what you think in the comments and all that other stuff that we do. And anyway, thanks for watching, and I will see you on the next video.